advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Greetings, citizens of the Marvel Universe. Welcome to Spoiler Ep 50, the Big 50.
You demanded it, true believers.
Yes. We haven't done a spoiler ep in quite a while.
It's been, I mean, since Morgan.
Morgan.
Yeah,
I don't even remember that
coming
movie.
Up for our final Kickstarter reward we've got coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Another spoiler coming up. And but today, you demanded it, Doctor Strange spoiler with Jackie Cation.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Hi, guys.
Why does Jackie Cation always get to do the Marvel ones? Because she shows up with cussing the character.
Went to the long boxes, you guys. Went to the long boxes.
Saw the movie a second time in...
In 3D. First time 2D, second time 3D.
We're going to get into that.
Yes,
I
definitely.
Saw it in three triple Ds. I like the three. I like the Ds.
Great movie to see in 3D.
It's the reason 3D was invented.
The fucking reason 3D was invented.
And nobody threw an arrow at my chair. It just was in 3D.
It was
right.
That'd be weird if someone threw an arrow at your chair too.
Well, that's what it looks like when you go to a 3D movie.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if it is your first time listening to a spoiler app, we are only going to talk about Juan. How'd you find this? All we're going to talk about is Doctor Strange, and we will reveal the ending, key points. So if you are like just fumbled across this, like you're like, I don't understand podcasts, and you suddenly are listening to this, if you don't want to know the ending of this movie, stop listening now, watch it, and then start listening again. So we were going to divulge everything. Buckle up. Get ready. Doctor Strange, spoiler ep. We all loved it, right? We all loved it.
Yeah, we all loved it.
Really enjoyed it.
Thought they stuck the landing again.
Yes,
again.
Mm-hmm. Here, and I will. We'll start with mime because I would never read Doctor Strange.
Right.
Covers like this one that Jackie, the retro one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Doctor Strange, the Oath by Brian K. Vaughan. Yeah.
Doctor Strange, the Oath by Brian K. Vaughan. This is
art
the,
by Martin.
Art by Martin is the type of cover that made me as a kid go, nah.
Nah, comic books are dumb.
No, yeah. Not comic books are dumb, but unless there's a guy in a tight suit punching people, I don't care what this, carnival tarot card reader is doing.
Yeah.
So
wow.
It was right in my...
So mystic arts, not for you.
Nope, I don't like mystic arts. I like guys... Thumping.
What about the guy on the Venture Brothers who is essentially the Doctor Strange guy? You know, on the Venture Brothers, I forget his name. Why can I forget his name? He's so great. He's Dr. Orpheus, that's it.
Dr. Orpheus.
Dr. Orpheus on the Venture Brothers is so funny.
Maybe because my dad was a PhD, I just didn't like a lot of doctors.
right, and this hand gesture just makes you uncomfortable.
The hand gesture, the crazy thing.
Spooky.
I was like, you know, the only guy with the white temples I want is like Nick Fury or Sergeant Rock or one of those guys
right.
pumping lead or fists into someone that had it coming.
Right.
So I was never a big Doctor Strange person. The trailer made me go, this looks great.
Yeah.
Right. I forget the trailer now. What was
by the Crimson Bands of Krytorak.
And I saw this movie at the Chinese Theater in laser 3D.
Oh my gosh. That sounds awesome.
The greatest. Now, it's expensive. This is a 20-some dollar ticket.
Right. Like, really?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like three times a year.
Yeah.
That's the high-end 3D too. Now that we have like different versions of 3D... Mm-hmm. That's like the high-end, crispest one.
And
oh, wow.
It was...
Mm-hmm. Now I might have to see it again.
Yeah, it makes a difference. When you were telling me about it, I'm like, how much different is that?
I'm telling you.
And I went to see it, and I'm like, oh my God,
let me make this recommendation right now. The next time you see a trailer for a movie that you think that actually is designed for 3D and will look great, go to the Chinese theater.
Okay.
See it in the best possible 3D you can...
What's the name of the system? Is it a Dolby system? Do you know?
It's THX.
THX. Okay.
And it's, they call it literally laser 3D.
Laser 3D.
I don't know why they have lasers, but...
it makes it more precise.
Sure.
Sure, that's why. That's why they did it.
But it was so much fun. It was everything that we've talked about in the past about why Marvel is great.
Yeah.
It is specific.
It's a specific... to go ahead.
Specific to this universe, specific to these characters, and yet still in the Marvel world without being repetitive.
And a perfectly good movie all on its
all
own.
All on its own. All
which
on
is
own.
One of the best things that Marvel does. Mm-hmm. And but all the spoiler stuff at the very end of it, you know, all the stinger stuff, they didn't explain Jack. They're like, no, we're just going to have these two stingers and you can figure them out. You'll get it.
Which is just for the super fans.
Right.
Like, you could have never seen a Marvel movie, don't know anything about Doctor Strange, and I think
you just like Sherlock.
You just like
Sherlock. Wanted to see this movie.
Right. Instead of an arrogant British guy, he plays an arrogant American.
Right.
Yeah.
There were some remarkable similarities between the characters. Right.
All of Benedict Cumberbatch's, all of his roles are that of a guy who knows more than you do,
right.
Or me.
Even when he's playing a dragon.
Even when he's playing, especially when he's, are you
dragons,
kidding? He does.
Dragons are arrogant on their own.
Exactly.
Just call him what
he's
it.
Just, he was method. That was method.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for the English actor with the hard American R. I'm doing an American accent. And he did a pretty decent job, I thought. Like
his face looked weird doing it. Because that's not
how I... He looked uncomfortable.
I couldn't tell if he was comfortable. I was just like, I kept looking at his mouth going, I think that's working too hard a little bit. But that was all. I didn't notice it that often.
Maybe it was a little dubbing after the movie.
possibly.
Had an American
dub. A little ADR action. Like, look, you know, you still sound a little bit too British. Let's record your entire, all of your dialogue again.
But I had a blast. And I was curious going into this episode about what guys like you who have read the comics and knew all the characters, how was that for you?
You know, I have to say, like, I read the, like, old school Doctor Strange stuff when I discovered
it. You read Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and all that.
Like, the crazy stuff that, like, nothing was too weird or too ethereal. Like, you know, him going back in time to witness creation and talking to God, like, literally crazy things like that. And then, you know, later he's fighting Dracula to destroy all the vampires in the world. You know, like crazy storylines like that, but they were so cool and so inventive and so different. Sorry. That they were always entertaining. And then there's that one graphic novel, Into Shambhala, which is...
Who wrote that?
I think it's DeMatteis.
Okay.
But it was one of those jokes in the movie, like Shambhala was that... Oh, it's the Wi-Fi password. But that's one of the famous graphic novels.
Oh.
And
see, there were so many Easter eggs that I was like,
right.
I didn't
you're
get
not,
all
you're never going to see all of them. You're never going to get all of them. But what I really liked about the character, too, is you never really got into the backstory in the old comics. Like, it was, like, you know how Spider-Man, Jesus, it's, like, referenced in almost every issue, you know? Well, Doctor Strange didn't do that. Like, you know, if you really wanted the origin, you had to find the origin story. It was very rarely referenced.
He was distracted driving, always.
Yeah.
In the 60s, in 2016, that guy has a fancy car that he drives like a jackass, and he's looking, he's screwing around.
Now he can't do surgery again, so he's looking for a cure. So, but it was always so trippy and always so interesting because you never know where it was going to go. And I really felt like the movie captured a lot of that. Like, you know, okay, well, the mystic arts, this opens up literally everything. You know, you've got demons and other dimensions.
Right.
And all these rules. But I think
that it did so much for Marvel, that character, because then they could grab Dracula's. As Deadpool calls them.
Right.
Draculas. He's like, we're not all named Dracula.
Yeah.
We're vampires. Right. Keep talking to me, Draculas.
Yeah. Then we can bring in Blade, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
So I really think that the movie captured the spirit of that. Like, these are the rules. Like, it didn't also go into, like, all these crazy tangents. Like, well, here's the rule, but now we're going to break the rule. Now here's another rule. Now we're going to break it. It really focused in on, here's how magic and the mystic arts work, and we're going to stick to how this goes. I will say the one thing that I would have liked to have seen a little more of in the movie that I remember in the animated movie. Remember there was an animated movie that came out a little while back?
Yeah, I saw that.
When Doctor Strange first gets hurt and he goes to Tibet and he starts training basically with the Ancient One.
Which the Ancient One, who was not Tilda Swinton.
Yes, was not Tilda Swinton. There was a scene that was kind of like a metaphor for who he was going to become. Like, he kept telling him he had to keep building and tearing down this wall. Like, and he didn't see the point of it. He kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, couldn't figure it out. And ultimately, the ancient one said, well, no, the wall's not even there. And then when he finally figured out, there was no wall. And it was kind of a cool thing of him getting over his greatest enemy, which was himself.
Well, and that is, of course, my... I mean, this is to jump to the end of the damn movie, and I don't want to do that, but my favorite scene...
No, you can. It's spoiler up.
Okay.
Talk about the whole thing.
So, do it.
Okay, so in any order, obviously, in any right? order. Okay, so my favorite scene of the movie the first time I saw it was my favorite line, which was, it's not about you.
Right.
Is when Tilda Swinton says, it's not about you.
Yeah.
I laughed and laughed and laughed because that is his problem. His problem is himself, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the second time I watched that movie and she says, it's not about you, my favorite part was how Benedict Cumberbatch played it, which was exactly how Doctor Strange has played it for 40 years, which is, that can't be the problem.
Right.
The problem isn't me. No, I'm sure there isn't there a book?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there has to be some.
Yeah.
You know, and it was that type of thing that gave the heart that we always want in a Marvel movie, you know? Mm. We want all movies, but Marvel has done such a good job making them about real people
inside of this giant $200 million spectacle.
Like, yes. Right.
How do they keep doing this?
Right.
It's an anomaly because when you see that big of a budget, it's almost like a foregone conclusion. Well, the script's going to be dumb. The characters, let's just hope it's
Jerry
not.
Jerry Bruckheimer is a lot to answer for.
Yes.
There's a lot to answer for.
And Michael
that Bay guy. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's like, so you're just, it's, you're so, it's so amazing. So I want to get into the Tilda Swinton character because
right.
I love the introduction of her, how he meets her, her whole, I love that, that it was a woman. It wasn't an elderly Asian man.
Right, which Asian people were disappointed because...
In the comic book.
Yeah, because it's an elderly Asian man. But yes. I know why they did the casting was because she is the only other woman in that movie. And they were trying to sort of break it up a little bit.
Right.
And Wong was so great.
Now, why didn't they go to Tibet?
For what?
wasn't it supposed to be set in, like, Tibet?
I don't know that it was ever a real place. I mean, though, of course, he's on the Himalayas at one point, or Mount Everest, or wherever the hell he was.
Some fake city name. Like, wasn't it Kathmandu or some, like...
It was a real city, but a fake school in the city, which felt like the city... I mean, it was...
Hogwarts.
Yeah, it was very circly, oh, I get it, poof, we're somewhere.
Right.
I think that Tilda Swinton was a great choice in sort of diversity casting sounds ridiculous, but I mean, in the way that a lot of these stories don't have any strong women characters.
Right.
And so
when they were written in the 60s or the 50s or whatever.
Well, also his servant was Asian.
Wong.
You know, Wong was basically, he was the manservant in the
and Wong's going forward in the franchise. And Wong, that guy, did such a great job.
Right.
The actor.
Started
as a librarian. But the Wong character has always been this very caricature of, you know, essentially the Pink Panther's sidekick.
Kato.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in this movie, he is not Kato.
Right.
He is a person. And he is hilarious and a power unto himself. And what was,
he's guarding the library or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I loved, again, knowing almost nothing about the backstory of it, just as a construction of a world, I loved how it was put together, and I loved the messages that it had, and then that she ended up being bad and corrupt. I mean, like Tilda Swinton was.
Oh, that she was using the powers, but she is the ancient one, so she wasn't using her powers. I mean, you understand
Mordo. She's not corrupt.
She's complicated.
She's complicated.
That's what Strange says. And that's what she's like, you don't understand how I'm doing this. But and there are many reasons for it. And we never do get to find out because she dies, right?
Right.
But
Or does she?
Well, and she never came back in the because he's now the Sorcerer Supreme. Because she was the Sorcerer Supreme forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Ancient One was. And now Stephen Strange is the Sorcerer, but not at the end of the movie. So he's still got to work towards becoming the Sorcerer Supreme. The Earth doesn't have one, which means Doctor Strange 2 will be him becoming, I think, the Sorcerer
Supreme. After Thor, but he's going to be in Thor.
Oh, he's going to be in Ragnarok. Yeah, yeah, he'll be in Ragnarok, and that'll be amazing. He's like, oh, you need to find Odin. Let's go.
That was in one of the, I'm trying to remember the two.
One of the stingers.
Yeah.
One of the stingers.
And Mordo has traditionally been his arch enemy, and they gave Mordo more personality, too. They gave him a real reason to be his friend and a real reason to lose friendship. And because in the beginning, he was like Cassilla. Cassilicus? Because what was the name of the guy who wanted Dormandu? I'm fucking up all the names.
Mads Mikkelsen.
the MacGuffin. And so...
Cadilius? No.
Just something with us Cassilius. At the end.
Cassilius. That's Mads whatever. Mikkelsen. Yeah, okay. And so he was a bad guy. But Mordo is usually the bad guy all of the Doctor Strange and Dormandu or whatever.
So how did you guys then feel when they kind of, at the end of the movie, they make Mordo like, there's too many sorcerers, I'm killing sorcerers. So they're obviously setting us up for something. Are they setting us up for something that's a storyline from the comics, or are they setting us up for something that we don't know? That's new.
It looks new to me.
Right.
But I haven't read all the old stuff.
Yeah, just taking the characters and putting. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I really.
Mordo usually just wants. He just wants power. You know,
right.
He usually is not a guy who's like. Do you know the staff of the Living Tribunal that he was carrying? Mm-mm. That was his staff. He said when he was talking about getting magical items, and they're infused into the item because the magic costs. But the staff of the Living Tribunal is a real thing. The Living Tribunal is some cosmic tribunal.
They're alive.
That actually exists or only exists in the Marvel Universe?
It exists in the No, it's not real. It's not the Living Tribunal, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is what you're thinking of. That's different. That's a different tribunal. The Living Tribunal is...
Can I start my own Living Tribunal?
Possibly. All I know is that some supervillain had to go before them, She-Hulk defended them in the court of the Living Tribunal.
Oh, and God, that'd be awesome. Are we going to see a She-Hulk?
That was the greatest run. I can't remember who wrote that. It was such a great run of the fact that when they said Living Tribunal, I remember sitting up going, why do I know that name? The Living. But there was just so much the man. And I wish I could remember the name of the staff that Wong was carrying, but I can't. But there was the Cape of Levitation, which was amazing. And then
Cape of Levitation. Studio Ghibli character, right?
Oh, why?
Yeah.
Is that...
Because it had its own personality.
Oh, right.
And it was like, you know, the way when you watch the Studio Ghibli movies, like the inanimate object, whether it's a lamppost or whatever, is so infused with personality.
Yeah.
That's really what I saw when I saw that, the cape just, it was literally, all right, you know, I'm going to bond to you, but I have my own ideas on how you should be doing things.
Right.
Is
which
it
is
Dan
so...
Slott who wrote the,
yes,
Encounter of the Living
that's
Tribunal?
Exactly who did it. It was go. Dan Slott. Dan, you should read all things by Dan Slott, Mark Waid, and, and Brian K. Vaughan offhand. Those are the three that come to mind.
So let's go into the ending a little bit. What did you think of the ending? Did you like how it was left? It was obviously very origin story opened. It was like the end of Batman Begins where they get the Joker card. Some new wingnut around Gotham.
I mean, that's the new thing that a lot of these movies are doing. It's becoming, well, to me, this is, if I did have one criticism, it's getting too important to set up the next movie in each of these movies. You know, you don't have to do that every single time.
Right.
You could do it in the stingers or whatever, but you could give me a complete beginning, middle, and end, even with an origin story. It's okay to foreshadow or whatever. But
it came to a full stop, and then the stinger set up the next one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're getting too reliant on that formula.
I'm also a little wrong because doesn't Wong say that the Eye of Agamotto is an Infinity Stone?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. The Eye of Agamotto, of course, was different. It's an Infinity Stone in the Marvel cinematic universe.
Yeah, but not in the comics.
But no, not in the comics. In the comics, it doesn't control time. The Eye of Agamotto. It's sort of like a truth potion. It can see the truth. That's all it did in the...
It's an amulet magic lasso.
It's an amulet. It can see things as they really are. That's the quote. It can see things as they really are. And so it wasn't an Infinity Stone. But now I feel like there's too many Infinity Stones in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's worrying me a little bit. And I
Well, you need enough to fill a gauntlet.
Well, the gauntlet only has six stones, right? It's Thanos made the gauntlet, and there's six stones. And I had to write them. I had to look them up, right? So the cosmic cube, which was the Tesseract in the cinematic, that's one of them. And then there's the Mind Stone, which Vision has in his brain box that came from the staff of Loki in the movies. That's the Mind Stone.
But then isn't it, like, don't they have it in Luke Cage now in the Judas Bullets or whatever? Like
that's not an Infinity Stone.
It's alien technology or something.
It's just alien tech?
Yeah.
That's okay. I haven't got to that part of Luke Cage
yet. About the, living shadowy thing that attacked Natalie Portman?
The aether? Yeah. Yeah, the aether thing. That's the red goo. Mm-hmm. And that's the power gem, right? Like, the red one was the power gem. The blue one was the mind gem, so that's Vision, right? That's the thing in Vision. That's going to hurt when Thanos takes that out, you guys. Anyway, the purple gem, which was in the hammer for Guardians of the Galaxy, that's the space gem. The time gem was orange, but the Eye of Agamotto was green, which was the soul gem in the comics, but we haven't found the soul gem in the movies yet. So I don't know. I don't know where we will find the soul gem.
All right, a lot to ponder.
And then we got a reality gem, which is yellow, which I don't remember there being a yellow one.
I honestly, the constantly talking about the Infinity Stones and all of these, like, is this leading to some final?
Yeah, the Infinity War.
That's the Infinity War movie, where it's just going to be a pylon.
It's a two Avengers. It's a part one and part two of the Avengers that'll have everybody in it.
Right, that sounds also enormously expensive.
It sounds like that's the end of all movies.
Possibly.
Like, when this country divulges into degrades into a civil war and we're all killing each other, that's when that movie's going to come out, and then that's the end of civilization.
Very possible. And then Robert Downey Jr. will be like,
It's all about the release date, really. You want to go
January 21st.
Yeah, you don't want to go up against the apocalypse.
Right.
No.
2 days before. Two days before.
Yeah, make sure it's a holiday weekend.
Sure.
It's So
let's talk about the effects for a little bit, because were absolutely fantastic. And one of the things we've seen too is when we see the summer and even like a lot of these effects driven movies, you get a little jaded because how many times can we see a building blow up? How many times can we see a river or a robot or a superhero go into, or an alien.
Giant ship.
Yeah, this did things that were so unique and so different. I mean, we saw some stuff like this in Inception, but it really had a different feel and a vibe to it, just even with the audio design, like with all the cranking and like when all the buildings twisted onto each other. The really cool sound design on it. And I want to give a shout out to Todd Perry, who was one of the CG supervisors on the film, and he also did the animation for Earbuds. So
hey, what's Earbuds, you guys? Anyway,
Jackie, it's available for download at comedyfilmnerds.com.
Standard def, high def, or with extras.
You can see interviews with Jackie Cation and all your favorite podcasters. The thing, like, I was like, oh yeah, we've seen this, this is like the next generation of Inception technology. And I was like, that's cool. And to watch that in 3D was cool. But when he goes into the mystical world,
with Dormammu?
That was unbelievable. And that to me was when I was like, this is when 3D is great.
Right.
Because 3D is helping tell the story.
Right.
They're not just like, obviously we've talked about on the show, when they just tack on 3D, it's such bullshit. Mm-hmm. Or when they just go, and you talk about the visual effects, if they're just going, hey, look, we've got a bunch of money and computers, like
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Suicide Squad.
It's dumb. This was using the technology and the 3D to tell the story. I felt like the 3D was cool when he's in the regular world and the buildings are falling on each other. It's like, oh, wow. And then he goes into, they took me there. Yeah. They took me to this new world, this new universe. And I was so, like you said, I was so immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like...
You don't need arrows being thrown at you.
No, no, that's the thing. They didn't throw things at you. They pulled you in.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is what 3D ought to be. I mean, that's virtual reality, right? Is where we're looking around going... Oh, I'm in a weird field and look at the flowers or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And you guys are talking about the special effects, but that scene with Dormammu and the time loop. First of all,
the time loop shit was brilliant and hilarious.
Yeah.
Brilliant, and it was so funny. And they introduced the time thing so that they could use the time thing. Mm-hmm. They introduced the gun into the plot, and then they used the gun, right? It wasn't just, hey, here's a magical thing that can happen.
Right.
And here's a real magical thing that we're going to use later in the movie. And I was like, that's storytelling. That's real storytelling. And I was psyched.
It was, because it's the best... It's great writing, it's good storytelling, and then they use the effects to help tell the story.
Yeah.
And
they didn't overwhelm the story, and the story didn't look pointless.
Suffer from too many, effects overwhelming it.
Right, where you just tune out. You're just like, another blow-up space chase, whatever, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where this was like, the effects were, the time warp thing... It was so cool.
Yeah.
And Dormammu was getting mad. I'm laughing in the middle of this amazing effect scene.
Yes.
That's also telling the story of and showing how he's learning and how he's going to defeat this foe. And it was just fantastic.
And just like, one death after another. And you're like, okay, so they showed us a half a dozen or 10 ways he died. How long did it take Dormammu to realize?
Right.
And what's the psychological impact on Stephen Strange? The fact that he had to die a gajillion times, like Groundhog Day, right? And it was... It was so powerful. It was one of those, there were like three real emotional scenes for me that I thought when he checks the pulse of the guy he killed.
Yeah.
That was really, that felt real. That I was like, yeah, that's what a doctor would do. And he would be disappointed that he just killed somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the other thing too, is like, and I think the superhero movies have taken some slack, and I feel like Marvel is trying to sort of respond to the fact that they have this big fight in New York City, and everyone's like, yay, they saved the world. And everyone is going, how many thousands of people died in that? And so you have to, that's never really been, we've never answered that or talked about it in the comic book world. We just say big fight and they blow them up and they beat the aliens.
What I like about what Marvel's done, they do reference it. Like every other show, they call it the incident.
Right.
In New York. So it's like this big giant thing that happens. It gets referenced in Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If I watched it.
It's all over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. So they're just like, that's why S.H.I.E.L.D. was dissolved. And because of the horror. And now there's the Registration Act. And there's all these, you know.
Yeah, I was watching Jessica Jones. And they were like, the incident and, can somebody mind control? And you're like, she goes, so there's a big green guy and all of his buddies and aliens coming in to attack. And we're not. We don't want to believe that someone can control somebody else's mind. Yeah. I was like, wow, they're really weaving this all in there.
Yeah.
And having to deal with the fact that, like, in these big superhero fights, people are going to die.
People are going to die. There's going to be property damage up the yin yang.
Yes.
Yeah.
And insurance
will happen in Civil War. I mean, that was kind of the
that was a
the
big thing there.
Of that. Like, you know, with all this power, you know, you get your energy beam a couple inches off. And
that was such a great moral. Debate in Civil War, and like
it was better than the comics. I thought the movie, the Civil War movie, was better than the comics, just because the stakes were higher and the issues were not as blurred. Because
the comic book felt like, oh, this is a comic book Civil War.
Yes,
the movie felt like the Civil War movie felt like, oh, if these people actually existed in this world, this would be the discussion that would be happening. In our current political climate and the way the media is and everything else, this is how it would be handled.
Right. And poorly.
How, poorly, yes. And how, and how it would make them actually fight internally.
Right, where it would not be, there would be little or no common sense, and it would all be escalated, all run by emotion, and then one guy who had some pretty
I'm
good
sorry,
chops.
Are you talking about the election?
No, I was talking about the bad guy in Civil War who made them fight each other, and that's what he wanted, you know?
Oh, so I mean, Putin.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And so, right, it's him or Bannon or some white supremacist who's like, if we could get them to kill each other, then we won't have to, and then we'll just pick up the pieces and we'll be able to enslave who we want,
right,
and do whatever we want.
The Russian army can go through Latvia.
Nice. And
I'm sorry, I got it mixed up.
I think you're thinking of Latveria.
Latveria, that's it, Dr. Doom.
Ah,
oh, there's
nice.
A great Dr. Doom, Dr. Strange crossover that I couldn't find. And wow, having some issues. Okay, so, but it was.
Other favorite scenes,
okay. So.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but in the Into Shambhala graphic novel favorite scene, Dr. Strange has sex with a bunch of statues. So
you've been talking about nothing else.
I know.
Chris. And that's the weird thing
because
about
it's so crazy. It's one of those.
It's mannequin love.
It's one of those weird graphic novels that's like at the time was like, quote, you know, completely controversial that came out. But I was reading about Doctor Strange too, and
I'm still a little weirded out by it. Yeah, there's a controversy there.
So if you go back deep enough, like you literally could find anything in Doctor Strange. It's so
that's the great thing about it because it's trippy.
Yeah, it's such an open book where. It's like I said, looking at creation and talking to God and fighting vampires.
Yeah, it came out of this LSD time, right. You know, mm-hmm. LSD, the current ayahuasca is what you kids are doing, I think, right now, right? And so whatever, but but it can be that because it's different dimensions and it can
right.
be like every time I read, he's so powerful, right? He's the Sorcerer Supreme. He's like Superman in that way, right? The only way. One of the things that they have to do to make him less powerful every six arcs is because they can only introduce so many giant monsters from other dimensions
right.
and so many sidekicks who show up and, you know, now he has to raise babies or what. I mean, who knows? Like it's, you know, my three dads or whatever. And but they usually end up taking his powers away. Like there was the arc that is currently that just ended that, oh my God, who wrote, was it Mark Waid again? Anyway, but it was, they took away his powers because magic was being destroyed all over the Marvel universe. Magic was, there were these science robots that came from the future and from a different dimension to destroy all of magic. And all the Sorcerers Supreme in all the parallel dimensions have been destroyed except for Doctor Strange. That's in the current that's the current storyline in Doctor Strange. There are no more Sorcerer Supremes except him, and the Scarlet Witch is wandering around, also all trying to fix magic, and then there's like nine pieces of magic left. But it's funny because one of the last
Where's
issues...
Where's the Enchantress in all this?
Well, she's around. She is around. I mean, the ones that lived, they had to mm-hmm. give him their magic in the 11th hour. Everybody mm-hmm. had to give what little bit of magic so that he could fight and get rid of all this stuff. But the crazy thing is, Wong has been keeping something in his basement that is taking all the pain. Because every time you perform magic, there is a cost. There is a magical cost, and that is referenced in the movie with the objects. And that cost is what the Ancient One was bleeding off into the Dark Dimension. Mm-hmm. I think I just made that up.
Yeah.
So, but it's fiction. So why not? Yeah. It could be a thing.
That could be magical speculation.
Sure, it's magical speculation. And magical speculation.
New phrase just coined here. Episode 50, guys. Hashtag magical speculation. Okay.
But the thing in his basement was just made of pain. And there was so much of it because of the decades of Wong just shunting off the pain down into the basement that it's the second, I think it's the thing that defeats, I talk about spoiler, this is the thing that defeats the bad guy robots that want to destroy magic. They eventually have to fight all of his pain from doing magic for 30 years.
Have you heard or seen any indication as to if any of these storylines are going to make their way into the next film?
I don't know. The Oath, with the thing that was written by Brian K. Vaughan, was essentially about the Hippocratic Oath, which we see in this movie.
Yes.
So this is kind of, it's origin-y. They introduce that the guy who didn't fix his hands because they were unfixable. Mm-hmm. That guy becomes Nicodemus. What was his name?
Nicodemus.
Nostradamus. Unfamiliar. But he's in here as a bad guy. So he's, all of these characters are in there. So they have so much to pull from. Like, I have that Essential Doctor Strange book. I haven't been able to read it. It's hard for me to read comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s because the layout is different. And I learned how to read comics in the early 2000s. And I would just have to really just... And it's all in black and white. It's just pen and ink because they just...
You learned how to read comics in the early 2000s?
I read comics in high school, and I only read Spider-Man.
It's like manga. Really, if you once you get used to it,
right,
you'll be able to.
It's intuitive,
right?
Right, but it's like when they say Apple products are intuitive. They're only intuitive after you've learned how to use your first Apple product, and then they're all intuitive. You're correct. So what I have to do, like I've read a couple manga, but I haven't been able to. Like, I don't know where I'm going on the manga, because it reads like Hebrew, right? It reads right to left. And so you have to start in the upper right-hand corner and read it down. And you're like, yeah, my brain. And so, but if I did it, and there's a million 11-year-olds who are fine. They can read, they can do it.
My favorite part of a manga book is when you open it like a normal book, and it says, stop, you're reading this the wrong way.
Oh, do they like usually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, one of my nephews got me his favorite. He's, you know, he was 17. I think he got me this manga book. It was about the Silk Road, and it was about some woman who was sold. She was like 19, and she was given to the village over. So it was like a slice of life, kind of historical manga. And it was weird.
There's ones for everything.
There's ones for everybody. And so she had been sold in a marriage to a 12-year-old boy at the next village. So she's hanging out with this kid, and she's like, well, we're married. Did you want to not have sex? Let's not. That would be weird. Do you want to go play cards or something? I mean, and literally she like takes him to play cards and ride horseback and teaches him how to fight. So it's kind of a cool... I don't know the name of it. I have no information. Allow me to introduce nothing to you.
It sounds very Japanese.
Right. It sounds cool. Yeah. It's kind of awesome Japanese thing that you're like, oh,
it's like Akira with a horse.
Did you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
No, Jackie.
PS3, PS2.
No. I have played Shadow of the Colossus, but
it's a beautiful.
It is, but the controls bother me. I only got to the third Colossus.
Oh my God. Oh, you could have stuck it out. There's only eight. It's essentially eight boss battles. Eight? Does that sound right? Anyway, it's pretty great. And it's very beautiful.
What else from this film do you guys want to discuss?
Yeah, what else?
Or we shut it down.
Right. We could just shut it down. It's true.
I have to say, I was a little skeptical of, you know, Sherlock Benedict Cumberbatch doing a Doctor Strange. Granted, he looked just like him. I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about how he would play him. And I think he pulled it off. I really do. It was a little off-putting with thinking, all right, well, that's normally his character with a British accent, and it's Sherlock.
Yep. Which is why I knew he could do it.
Yeah.
And so, I was psyched he did the American accent to change it up.
So I liked that. I liked, you know, it's one of those rare cases where I thought sometimes the movie moved a little too fast. Like, I actually would have liked a few more scenes in the beginning of showing him what a dick and an arrogant doctor he was before the accident. Like, I know the accident's coming, but no, let me...
No, they got to it quick.
Yeah, let it breathe a little bit. Let me see really what an arrogant prick he is. And,
right. I don't know enough about watches, but he had a lot of watches, you guys.
He did, and they spun on their own without magic.
Something was happening. There was a lot of money in that drawer full of watches, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to pay for a custom watch drawer with the top.
I liked how they got into it quickly, honestly. I was just like, yeah, I got it. He's a rich dick doctor. Let's go. Put on the cape. Let's get into it.
Yeah,
yeah. I was, and when they introduced the cape,
I know.
I was so psyched.
It was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, he's... And then he just, it kind of swirls around him. I genuinely applauded. I applauded. I was like, yes, well played, Marvel. Because he looks perfect now.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Christine, who was, I guess, his girlfriend at one point in the books. I don't know a lot about the doctor, Christine Palmer. I think she was one, weirdly enough, Christine Palmer, the name of the that nurse, mm-hmm. was the name of one of the night nurses in the original Night Nurse series. You know the night nurse, right? It's Rosario Dawson, yes. in Daredevil and
who
in
helps
Luke Cage.
The superheroes.
Right. And she doesn't have any of the names of the three, because there were three night nurses in the original. Mm-hmm. And Rosario Dawson's character does not have any of the names of any of those three women. And
but
like,
they reference her as Night Nurse, I think, in Luke Cage finally.
Which is cool. Which makes me want someone please write just night nurse stuff, because it's awesome. Wait, did Chelsea Kane just do that in Mockingbird? Maybe. I don't know. If you guys aren't reading Mockingbird, it was only 5 issues. Chelsea Kane got a lot of shit from some bro-y fucks online, and she's not used to it. She's just started writing comic books. She wrote a lot of murder mysteries, mm-hmm. and she's just, I think her first arc in comic book writing, she wrote one Mockingbird, and it went so well that they gave her a 5-issue arc. And I'm on issue 4, and it's great, but there's... She got so much shit online because one of the cover art, I guess, said, ask me about my feminist agenda. And somebody got mad, and then they just piled on her. All the dingbats.
Good old internet.
Good old internet piled on her, and she took it all too personally. If she had just done stand-up for 30 years, she'd know better
than to take anything personal.
You're like, fat dyke? I'm so sorry. I'm gonna keep doing my set because they have to pay me at the end of this 40 minutes. Are you sad at me? I'm so sorry. Just make the check out to Jackie Cation.
This innate ability to just go, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right. After 20 years of doing stand-up, it's a go fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
I was debating some Trumpers online, and eventually I just went, once you've proven that you're not going to like logically listen to anything or provide any points, yeah. then right. I'm just going to write, well, I do. This guy was like, I do kids charity. Oh, what do you take the kids to a Nazi rally with your guns? Like, I just was like, you want to fuck around? We can fuck around. You want to play this game? Like,
right. Well, that's it. I mean, I've always, everyone's genuinely pretty nice to me right. online. And when they get mean, I've never been in that mood.
Right.
The mood where I'm like, well, let's do this. Right. And, but I wait for the time when I am in the mood to just sort of fuck with them, because I usually just block them.
Yeah, you just go, I'm done. I'm done. Block you.
And people tell you don't block people online because that gives them a sense of satisfaction. I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
we're both happy.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. What you're not supposed to do is engage them.
Right.
No, the whole point is blocking them. They don't get the attention that they wanted.
Right. And they're like, well, they wanted to be blocked. And I was like, well, then they win.
They're good for
and
them.
I win.
Yeah.
We all win.
But they don't, though. They don't want to be blocked. They want to get under your skin right. and have you respond. That's really what they want. Blocking right. them takes that power away from them.
Right. So yeah, just step away from the screens, people. Look around. I mean, granted, you are listening right. to a podcast, but Solomon Giorgio had this great line on stage the night of the election. I follow Matt Bronger on Snapchat, mm-hmm. and it was like watching someone turn into a vampire. It was in 10-second clips, Matt Bronger like being just melting. And I was like, dude. And this I saw it the next day, and I wanted to just call him and go, you all right, man? I mean, I wanted to call everybody and give him a hug, because we're all living in a future that is yet to be, right? So,
No, this has already happened.
Well, we just get in the way.
1930s journey.
You know what I wanted to do? But I didn't want to live through history. I have absolutely no interest in living through history. I was hoping to just coast here. And now I'm going to have to get in the way of shitty behavior every fucking day. Yep. That's annoying to me, because I'm an American. And I believe in truth, justice, in the American way, but I'm also super lazy because I'm an American. So I don't understand. Those two diametrically opposed, and yet I will get off my ass and get in the way of your shitty behavior because, ooh, Muslims. Anyway, there's 12 of them. Okay, in the United States. So I have lost the thread. Chelsea Kane, Mockingbird. Read it.
We were talking about having sex with statues.
And statues, exactly. Who makes statues with orifices in them?
I don't know, but we should have them as a sponsor.
Yeah.
MeUndies, you guys.
Yes. this is a fleshlight mannequin. All right. Well, I feel as though we've come to a conclusion on this episode.
Oh, my God. We've certainly...
Oh, no. We have like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. So you can just chop it off.
I'm glad we gave you guys a little bonus content on this episode.
Rage.
Again, you guys demanded it.
Jacqueline Cation, where can people find you on the internets?
I am Jackie Cation, and you can go to at Jackie Cation at everything, JackieCation.com. I have a podcast called The Dork Forest, where I dork out about stuff with people. I also have a stand-up podcast where we just bitch about stand-up comedy with Lori Kilmartin, called The Jackie and Lori Show, and I do stand-up comedy. Next week, I'm all over the Bay Area, and then driving 5 hours north of the Bay Area, which is not the Bay Area. That's genuinely Northern California, Arcata.
Oh, wow.
So go to JackieCation.com, go to my tour page if you want to come see me do stand-up.
Earbuds podcasting documentary, folks, is available for purchase.
I'm in the first 20.
Yeah, bring it. Jackie's in it.
And a little B-roll with the Hobbit sword at the end.
Oh. Hobbit sword B-roll.
Sting.
And yeah, so if you just go to comedyfilmers.com, right on the homepage, you can get a standard def version for $7.99, high def for $8.99, bonus features for $2.99, and you can get the high def and bonus features together as a $10.99 download.
What?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's a great deal. It's the best price.
People should just throw you like $20 and get all the fucking things.
Get it all.
Or you could, but you can do it for $11?
$11 gets, yep, you, gets you everything. Everything.
Gets you everything.
An hour of bonus features.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. We take care of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. $11.
$11.
Get on it.
Come on. It's Christmas. We sell gift cards, digital gift cards that you can give to people. A couple of people have already done that.
They have, because they were asking, like, well, I want to give this download to somebody. What do I do? You just can fill out a gift card and send it to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we sell all of Jackie's products on this line.
Yes.
On
this, all on Dork this. Forest.
This is the only place to get the streaming of my special.
Yes.
This will make an excellent Horcrux DVD. Yep.
Only place to get the download.
Shazam. So, guys, do your Christmas shopping with us.
Looks like you guys have Dana Gould t-shirts, too.
We do.
We have a few, yeah.
Because we're all gearing up for the war on Christmas. yeah, that's it. And we're going to be setting up some screenings around the world in the next beginning of New Year. And we might come to a city near you. And in the meantime, download the movie and tell your friends. And thank you so much for supporting independent artists.
Much appreciated. It was a long journey. Now we're really happy that we can get the movie.
Finally
to
got money going in the right direction with this.
Yes. Now it's not all going out. Now only half of it is going out. Some of it's coming back in.
But we'll have DVDs available in the next couple weeks too. Those are getting.
We're working on those literally right now.
That takes a process, but we'll get those done to you, and they will have a bonus. The bonus content will be on that as well. All right, guys, like us. Give us the, you know, all the stuff you can do for free. Spend $20 with us once a year. You keep us afloat. Thank you again, Jackie.
Thanks for having me, you guys. What's the thing you always say at the end?
We're about to do that.
Oh, I forgot what it was for a second. Then I remembered it.
It's coming.
I am over here. I shut it down. Cation out.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember
Han shot first.
Yay, Jackie. Ha 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 ha!